Gascoigne going to have a crack? He is, you know. Oh, I say! Brilliant!
Oh, this young man is a sensation! Dele Alli, out of League One, into the Premier League! Oh, what a goal! It's Danny Rose on his Premier League debut!
Sheringham Fleck and Klinsmann is in!
He's got it lost under his feet and it's come from the middle!
Welcome back to another edition of the Internet's most dangerous Tottenham Hotspur podcast. I'm your host, Greg, and this is probably the most excited I'm going to sound on a podcast because we have a rough series of fixtures to talk about. Wheeler Dealer Radio took off the Christmas break, or the Christmas fixture period, I guess. It's not really a break for Spurs. Wasn't really a break for us because these weren't fun games to watch, and we're here to talk about all of them. I'm joined by our two longest-serving co-hosts today. It is Ben Daniels coming to us from Atlanta and Brian Ashlott coming to us from Florida. Are you in Miami or are you in, like, Tampa Bay or some shit, Brian? I always forget.
Neither of those things.
Fort Lauderdale, I don't know. One of these cities, they're all in the same place, right? Orlando?
Yeah, I'm closer to Miami than Tampa, definitely.
All right. Well, in an interesting holiday subplot, in a real-life subtweeting by family members and loved ones, all of us were gifted fancy new microphones for Christmas in some capacity. So I'm going to take that as some judgment as to the audio quality of our podcast. So hopefully that will pick up in the weeks ahead, and we hope you enjoy our, in theory, silky smooth audio quality.
On the bright side, they're listening, and maybe if they give us some five-star reviews, that'd be better, but...
Yes, now that we have expensive mics, you must all give us five-star reviews, just like our significant others must give us five-star
reviews. Just so it's clear, none of us set up our expensive mics. They're still sitting on in a box.
I did. I'm using my fancy mic, and you probably can't even tell the difference, so...
I'm shouting at you. Yeah. It's nice that everybody just said, like, here you go, you guys all sound like shit. Like, it's good.
See, at least our reviews and our loved ones are consistent. It's kind of reassuring. Speaking of shit, we have some Tottenham Hotspur matches to talk about, guys.
Speaking of consistency.
Yeah, this really sucks. So, when we last left you, dear listeners, Tottenham had just eked out an undeserved win over Wolves, 2-1. And we were sitting just a victory for Chelsea away from top four. Since then, we have lost 2-0 to Chelsea, beaten Brighton fairly undeservedly 2-1, somehow tied Norwich. I don't know if I'm angrier that we tied or angrier that we didn't win, because that was a very frustrating game. We really somehow lost to Southampton, which that's one I'm having a real trouble to figure out. And most recently, we drew against Burrow in the FA Cup, which was... I'm sure there have been more unpleasant Tottenham matches that I've watched in my life, but God, that felt like the most unpleasant one that I've watched.
Every week we say, boy, this is the worst Spurs game I've seen, and then people go, what about last week? What about the week before? What about 2 weeks before that? And it's like, oh yeah, it's just been really bad, kind of, for a while, hasn't it?
Well, let's talk about where we are. I feel like when last we left our listeners, I feel like things weren't great, and particularly the Wolves game was a ugly 90 minutes, but I feel like on some level we felt like we'd stopped the bleeding, as I am fond of saying on this podcast. There were some positive signs going on. I feel like that has not really... carried through in the matches since we last podcast. I don't know. The thing that seems to... I feel like if you look at the matches in general, our defense is a lot more sturdy under Mourinho than it was under Pochettino. But the thing we keep doing, the thing we were doing earlier this year and we're now doing in abundance again, is shipping incredibly stupid, just dumb goals on dumb mistakes that are either the product of... It doesn't even feel like there's systemic breakdowns, even though we're under threat a lot. But it just feels like somebody just mentally switches off in a way that ought to be unacceptable for a top six team. But it's not great, and I feel like that's one of the unifying threads of all these matches. We just give other teams gifts. Ben, how do you feel about where Spurs are right now?
Yeah, so it's... I think it's not necessarily as bad as our results have looked, but also it's worse than our results have looked. you know, I think you're right. If there's one thing that can be said for the Jose Mourinho tenure at Spurs is that our defensive organization and structure and shape has gotten better. We are giving away much fewer good chances. We're not having teams like break us down very easily. They're not just like running through midfield into massive holes in our defense to nearly the same degree that they were before Jose Mourinho. But like you said, none of that matters when you have dipshits like Serge Aurier or Gazzaniga or Juan Foyth or I don't know. I mean, most everybody in our team who are just happy to turn nothing into something for the other team and give away cheap goals. Because the other half of the Jose Mourinho equation has been our attack does not look good really at all. You know, there was a brief period when he came in when we were counterattacking well. We scored, you know, like three goals a game for the first three or four games. And it seems like we were going to have like a shootout every match. And now that's really gone away and we're playing sort of stout defensive work with no attacking thrust. And, you know, the old Jose of Chelsea in his first tenure was the kind of team that, you know, miserably ground out 1-0 victories, you know, over the shitty teams in the league.
Shit, I take that right now.
Yeah, if that's what he's setting us up to do, that'd be great. But the problem is like, we can't keep a clean sheet, and that one goal is never enough.
So let me, before we get off of this, because I think it's worth talking about, and I think you're right in terms of how these last few matches have gone down. But if I'm interested in being fair to Mourinho, so I'll play devil's advocate since Jose Mourinho is in fact the devil, how much of this do you think has to do with Son's incredibly stupid red card?
I mean, a lot, because Son is, I think at this point, you know, we've talked about Harry Kane to death on here, on Twitter. You know, it's very heavily in the discourse of how good is Harry Kane and how fit is he, how broken is he, whatever. But I think whatever you think of Harry Kane, it's been pretty clear for a while now that Son has become our key and best attacker. And so him checking out for three games over the fixture pile up over the holidays certainly didn't do us any favors. I mean, Lucas looks like shit. Kane got injured again. Dele looks exhausted. You know, we're just running out of bodies to throw at the attack. I mean, it's been so bad that Christian Eriksen and Giovanni Lo Celso have gotten minutes. You know, which, I mean, good, but, you know, I don't think Jose thinks so. So, yeah, Son didn't do us any favors. And then when he did come back against Burrow, he looked like shit.
Yes, he looked like shit. I would argue the only bright spot, the only real bright spot, I think, of this whole holiday run-in was, oddly enough, the second half against Burrow, where after we conceded that incredibly stupid goal, we got Winks off and put Lo Celso on and just instantly looked better. And God, I hope, if we get nothing else out of this period, I hope it's, and we're going to talk about what we sort of want out of Spurs for the rest of the season later, but what I want is Mourinho to realize that Lo Celso is probably the best chance we have of getting our attack firing. Because that's maybe the one positive of this period is we start playing through balls and actually doing somewhat dynamic stuff, and I don't think it solved everything, but God, at least we look like we were threatening to score a goal after we put Lo Celso on.
Yeah, I think there's been a few players who have shown signs of life over the last few weeks that are encouraging. I think Sessegnon has started to play left back for us, and he looks pretty good. I mean, he's not
a disaster, great, which is a huge improvement.
Yeah, he's defending pretty well. He gets up and down the pitch. You know, he has done shown a few glimpses of like attacking player, but not nearly to the consistency that you'd hope for. But you know, he's young, he's just getting into the team. I'm excited to play out the string with that. You know, I don't think Vertonghen's been very good. Danny Rose has cooked. Ben Davis has been hurt all year, you know, so giving this kid a chance is very promising. And I think one of the other players who I'm very surprised to say is Davinson Sanchez, who I think has been mostly a rock at the back under Jose Mourinho, and for some reason did not play like our last three, four fixtures. and has certainly enhanced his reputation through his absence, because we've looked a lot shakier at the back without him. So, other than that, like, Ndombele looked good before he got hurt again. But, you know, it's the same with him. We've just seen flashes. We haven't seen any consistency with him because he hasn't stayed fit. So those are the small silver linings, I guess, I can point to.
Brian, you look at this team. You look at where we all going forward. I mean, is this... I mean, how bad is it? Is it... I mean, do you see the semblance of a plan that could emerge over the next couple weeks? Or is this really like, we need to dig in and hope we get through the summer? Because, I mean, we need to totally refit the team. I mean, which do you think it is?
I mean, we're bad, but in like a new and different way. Like, it's... I feel at least that in watching Spurs be bad, that it's not the same type of bad. You know, like Ben said, people aren't just running randomly free through our midfield all that often. We just continue to do dumb stuff with our still dumb players. You know, we've got goalkeepers karate kicking people in the chest. We've got right back who is known for conceding penalties and giving up own goals. I mean, the team is what the team is. And, I mean, I think we all kind of knew that this assemblage of players had its flaws coming into this season, despite, you know, where we ended up last year. And injuries have certainly hampered how Jose Mourinho has been able to deploy this team. So, I mean, absent some spending in January, which is obviously not going to happen, I think we're just trying to hang on and get to the summer. I think that's probably best case scenario for Jose Mourinho, is that, you know, we get through this festive period, we start to pick up some momentum at some point.
How do you see that happening? I mean, I guess would be my main question. Like, do you see... Like, Ben and I just talked a little bit about the sort of green shoots that you could sort of see, but do you see anything resembling a structure on this team going forward?
I mean, the structure, I think the problem is that the structure is still largely the Pochettino structure, where we are still relying on the same core group of players to play in largely the same way that wasn't working under Pochettino. And so I guess my problem is, and Ben alluded to this while he was talking, is you don't see that Jose Mourinho, that team that, you know, ground out 1-0s or 2-1 victories or whatever. And that's a personnel thing. And, you know, Mourinho has said in press conferences, you know, that, you know, he can't change too much because he's coming in the middle of the season and the team plays a certain way. And that's the way we're going to continue to play because that's the way the players know how to play. And I think that's smart that he has to continue to do that. And in terms of green shoots, like, I guess, like, it's a little better than it was, right? Like, there's some, you know, midfield solidarity. Like, we're starting to figure out that Winks and Sissoko isn't a viable thing. Maybe we'll sell Harry Winks in January. That might be fun. You know, the problem is, again, is that, you know, injuries, suspensions have really kind of robbed us of any sort of consistency.
And the fixture list. I mean, I think for me, that's... It's not the most frustrating thing, because Jesus Christ, there's so much that's frustrating about Tottenham right now. Like, but one of the most frustrating things about this team is that the fixtures have come so fast that, you know, whether it is by a product of just having to rotate or having to play so many games, we're either getting players injured every other game or we have to rotate them. So, like, I don't even know what Mourinho's plan is. And on some level, I mean, while I'm still incredibly frustrated by the team we're seeing, I kind of understand why we look like such a mess. Because in a lot of ways, Mourinho could have taken over right before the Christmas period. But, you know, it's got to be hard to sort of like, okay, this team hasn't been firing and you got to sort of re-gear them. But guess what? We need to play like, you know, 6 games in a week and a half or whatever the hell it was.
Yeah, I think the one test, you know, Brian... You mentioned that Jose hasn't really invented new shit for the team. It's just sort of like running out the guys that we've been running out. But we're now going forward with Harry Kane and Musa Sissoko, who are both out for about 6 weeks. And these are two guys that, you know, Pochettino and Jose have both relied on quite a bit. And I think now his hand is going to be forced a little bit to play around and say, all right, well, what can I do to make this team work without our, you know, star striker, without, you know, this engine in midfield who, for whatever his quality is, Musa Sissoko is a guy who will run himself into the ground week after week and seemingly never get tired doing it. And, you know, not having those two guys is going to really ask a lot, I think, of Jose to figure out some way to compensate for that. You know, against Middlesbrough this week, he tried a back three formation with, you know, it was kind of like a, I don't even know how to describe it. I mean, Harry Winks was like a one-man midfield with Dyer and Vertonghen kind of like hopping up to support him a little bit. And then Eriksen and Dele were both playing higher up the pitch behind Lucas and Son. It was different. It was new. It didn't work. We, you know, almost lost to Middlesbrough. But in that second half, when Lo Celso came on and, you know, we switched things around a little bit, it looked like maybe there was some signs of life that, like, we might have some way of coping in a way that gets the best out of some of these guys. I'm really grasping at straws here, but
yeah, because I mean, you know, like the left back situation is obviously not ideal, where you have the two competent left backs, or the two, you know, actual left backs being out injured still, and Ndombele, who is, you know, your big money signing, is still struggling with, you know, niggling injuries, and then your best player and your only striker is out for the foreseeable future. And I mean, this year we don't even have Fernando Llorente to turn to.
I mean, Son is basically a striker. I mean, that's it sucks to lose Harry Kane, but at the same time, like, it's not like there's no cover for Harry Kane.
Yeah, but the thing is if you take Harry Kane out of the lineup and then you are replacing him in the starting lineup with Lucas or with Lo Celso, and you're changing the way fundamentally that you're playing, because now you don't have anybody to hold up the ball, you don't have somebody who is occupying central defenders. It changes you into just being only a counter-attacking team where you can only knock balls over the top and have Lucas and Son run onto them. And
Is that a bad thing? Like, we haven't been good, so, like,
yeah,
maybe
but I mean,
this,
like,
is a blessing in disguise.
But do you feel, like, confident enough in our, you know, defense and midfield to say that, like, we probably shouldn't try to hold on to the ball a little more? Like, that's my thing, is we're still like a possession. We are still built like a possession-based team, and we are trying to convert into playing a Jose Mourinho style. With a lower block and more direct passing, and that's good to a certain extent, but Jose Mourinho has almost always had a big striker that he can use to hold up play and be the target for those direct balls out of defense. And we saw some of that, you know, initially in his reign, when, you know, we've seen a little bit less of it in the last few weeks, but I think not having an actual target striker, or not even a target striker, a bigger body up front to act as an outlet and to do a little bit of hold up and provide knockdowns and stuff is going to be a problem for the next, I don't know, 2.5-3 months.
Fernando Llorente, a weary fan base, turns its eyes to you.
Yeah, I mean, look, Son is not small. Like, yes, he does not play as a traditional back-to-goal kind of striker who, you know, collects long balls and makes layoffs and then turns and runs. Like, he doesn't do those things. I don't know that he can't. I mean, it's certainly not his game, but, you know, I think just by virtue of having to do something different, I mean, Harry Kane has not been very good. Like, his all-around play has not been very strong. He's making, like, 10 passes a game. It's not like he's, like, highly involved and moving the attack in ways that, you know, he's compensating for his lack of like penalty box presence.
And he's not getting the shots off that he used to either.
Right. So like, yes, he scores, and like he's been one of our few sources of goals this season. And obviously we're going to miss that. But, you know, I think if, by virtue of not having him on the pitch, now you have to put Sonny up, so you have to put somebody in Son's place. And, you know, that means, you know, Lamella, Lo Celso, Eriksen, like, these guys are good and can bring something to the table. And I don't know. It might be completely terrible. We could just be absolute ass. Like, I'm not saying that's not a real possibility. But I think at the very least, I'm excited to see this is going to force something different from this team. And we're not going to play in such a way that is reliant upon a guy who is getting half as many shots a game as he was at his best. We're going to have to find new ways to score and attack. And, you know, we saw glimmers of what that might look like with Lo Celso on the pitch, with Lamella on the pitch.
I mean, I understand, you know, the point that you're making, like, and I agree that Harry Kane has not been as good this year, but he's still our leading scorer by, like, a pretty wide margin. You know, like, I mean, he's got 11 goals, Dele is next with 6, and then Heung-min Son has 5. Like, I mean, it is not going to be easy to replace his actual goal return. Like, I understand that, like, you're 100% correct. He's not been doing as much running this year. He has not been as involved in build-up play. He has not been as involved in the penalty box. He has not taken as many shots. But he's still scoring goals. And I know that some of those are penalties, and, you know, I have no idea what his actual, like, XG numbers are versus his actual goal return. But, I mean, just on sheer counting stats, he has 11 goals. And that is hard to, you know.
So he has 9 from open play. So, I don't know who takes penalties in his absence. But, yeah, he's got 9 goals from open play, which is not a ton. But, yeah, it's a lot to replace, certainly. But, you know, I mean, we know Lo Celso scored a lot of goals at Betis last year. We've seen Lucas score goals. He scored our goal against Middlesbrough. You know, he's got goals in him. If he's tasked with that, you know,
that's literally all he's got in him, his goals.
Yeah, at this stage, I don't know what happened to him. He used to be able to, like, dribble guys and create things for other people.
He still can't. There was this amazing sequence against Burrow where he like, dribbled into the final third. He was, like, on the outskirts of their box, accidentally hit it off a player's foot, still managed to retain the ball, dribbled into the box, and then ends up just, like, I can't remember if it was a goal kick or a corner, but just, like, just sort of meekly loses it in the box at the end of it. And it was just amazing set of, like, you know, a genuinely amazing job sort of getting it where he got it. And as soon as he got into, like, a dangerous position, just sort of, you know, shits the bed. And it's, like, I don't know, that maybe that's a metaphor for Tottenham as a whole this year. But it was really fucking infuriating to watch that.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Lucas has been complete dog shit this year. Like I said, I'm really grasping at straws here because, you know, we could just sit here and be like, our season's over, Harry Kane's dead. And maybe that's accurate. Maybe that is what is going to happen.
I don't know. If our season's over, I don't think that's the reason why. Or if it is, it's the straw that broke the camel's back. I mean, I think there's a lot of other reasons our season's
been over.
Well, so you're Mourinho. Are you taking this FA Cup replay seriously? Do you want to try to win the FA Cup, or do you want to minimize results and just figure out as much as you can this year, or minimize fixtures, just figure out what you can this year and just get out of this season as close to top four as you can?
I think you have to take a swing at the FA Cup. I mean, we've got Burrow on next week, and then we've got Southampton if we beat them. Like, I know we just lost to Southampton and just drew to Burrow, but those are both winnable games, and, you know, like, I don't see us winning the Champions League. Like, you know, if we can't win an FA Cup, we certainly can't win the Champions League. You know, if we're going to devote ourselves to, like, one cup competition, this is the more winnable one. You know, yes, we're still not out of it for top four. I don't know. I mean, it's a lot more games to pin our hopes on achieving that. I don't know. I mean, if we're as bad and as fucked as we think we are, you know, that seems like a really futile effort in a way that the FA Cup might give us something to look back on. And
oh, as say, a fan, hey. I absolutely want us to try to win an FA Cup. It's just, I don't know, maybe Mourinho, the value of the value of digging that out would be worth a lot to him too. But
I mean, Jose historically, even at Man U, was a guy who won domestic cups. Like, he won the League Cup with Chelsea, he won it with Man U, he won an FA Cup. Like, that's been his bread and butter. Like, he has always been very good at that. I mean, knockout tournaments in general, but, you know, for whatever else he did at Man U, and I know, like, it doesn't mean shit because they're Manchester United and they turn their nose up at an FA Cup, but, like, he won them trophies. And, you know, if that's what we brought him in here to do, which, you know, I like to think that some of the reason we hired a guy who has his pedigree is to win things. Like, this is a thing that's winnable, and with so much of our season looking like such a tire fire, I think it would be silly to punt on that. I mean, we've got Liverpool this weekend and Middlesbrough the midweek afterwards. Like, which of those games seems like worth putting your efforts into to win? Like, do we really think we're gonna beat Liverpool? I think that sucks. You never want your team to punt against somebody who you think of as a rival, but like, Liverpool rolled out like a C-plus team against Everton's first team in the FA Cup this week and still walked away with a win. Like,
let's be real. We could run out our best team, have their best performance of the year, and have snipers shoot out the knees of everyone on Liverpool, and Liverpool would still find a way to fucking win that game this season.
Right. So do you sacrifice your opportunity to advance in the FA Cup?
I'd love to win the FA Cup, but if I'm Mourinho, there's a level of which, and I don't know, maybe he'll get it now. Maybe now that midweek games will be, I mean, it's not even midweek games. You're playing so often over the last few weeks, so maybe it's just having one or two games a week, he'll be able to get something going. It's just, you keep watching him just try to shuffle the deck, and it's infuriating to watch because, I mean, whatever he's trying to do, other than sort of the defense, or our center backs more than our defense, it's really not working. And it's just really tough to watch, and I really want us just to get better. I mean, what do you think happened between, you know, like I said, we all thought, I think, it, in some form or fashion, it was trending up when we went on break before we played Chelsea. And then seemingly after Chelsea, I don't know, the mental mistakes seem worse, although all those mental mistakes were, I mean, a lot of those 3-2s were 3-2s because we did dumb shit at the end of games. And I guess we just all wrote it off because it was at the end of games. But, I mean, is the Son getting suspended? Is this the team getting gassed? Is it everyone figuring out that Toby's going to ping long balls over the top and that's the only Tottenham offensive strategy they need to defend? Like, where was the fall off between before the Christmas period and during it?
Well, I think the fall off is just, you know, Jose Mourinho barely rotated, and whether that's because of he doesn't have confidence in as that many of this the players that he has, or because it was suspensions and injuries or whatever, I think you just got gassed. I mean, you're talking about between the Chelsea game on the 22nd and the Middlesbrough game yesterday. That's five games, and over the course of, I can't do math, like 14 days, 15 days, you know, that's a lot of football. And especially it's a lot of football if you're relying on basically the same 13 or 14 guys. And, you know, and we've talked about how in the past Pochettino teams really found their feet in this sort of December, January period, because, you know, the fitness and everything kind of started to kick in. And I'm starting to wonder if players were, like, mutinying and rebelling against the training and the fitness and everything that Pochettino was doing this year, if maybe that's a factor. Then, you know, if you're half-assing it through your training sessions, then, like, now, at this point in the year, you're exhausted. So I really think it has a lot to do with just, like, fatigue and the injuries and That to me is the main thing that we've been having to deal with.
I mean, I think this might be the biggest flaw of Mourinho's tenure is he really didn't rotate, and I think on some level that's, you know, we've talked about this. He didn't have a lot of time. He's trying to get something that works very quickly, so he's leaning towards the players he thinks he can rely on immediately, and he'll sort the rest out later. And I think just over the Christmas period, that had real negative consequences for the team. I mean, I don't know about you guys. I don't think there was a better metaphor for Tottenham's season than I think it was the Borough game this weekend where – no, was it Southampton? It was Southampton where King got hurt, right?
Yes.
So, you know, end of this just dire shit show of a game. And then, you know, there's a free kick late, and on first blush, it looks like King got free and put the – like, actually kind of a nice finish, put the ball in the back of the net. Then we find out it's offsides. Then he's grabbing his hamstring, and it's just the most, like, fuck me. This is, like, weird. This season is so cursed. And
injuring yourself offside is not pretty.
Yeah.
It's definitely a microcosm for things.
He at least could have got, I mean, if he got a goal, at least you have something to show for it. Like,
right. I mean, I think if we at least salvaged that Southampton game, you know, things would feel a lot less bleak. Then you're looking at, okay, we beat Brighton. We were unlucky to draw against Norwich, but maybe a little bit lucky because VAR robbed them of a goal. But then we battled back and hard fought, drew against Southampton, and then did the same thing against Borough. And then you're feeling like maybe there's some life in this team. But I don't know. I think that game really just puts a fucking cloud over everything because they've been just not very good. And to lose to them is just so disheartening. And like,
well, the anomaly, I think, was the Norwich game. The Norwich game was at least interesting to watch. I mean, that at least had a bunch of shit happening in it. All the other games have been just fucking terrible. I mean, the second half of Borough was, like, kind of
encouraging.
Yeah.
Yeah, so going back to the rotation thing, one thing that I still can't really wrap my head around is, you know, for all the lack of rotating that he did, the one guy who seemed to disappear from the team is Davinson Sanchez, who, again, I thought had been very good lately. He didn't start against Norwich, but he did come on at halftime for Juan Foyth because he was terrible. And, you know, we had a much better second half than we did a first half. And then Southampton, he didn't start, and then Borough, he didn't start. And I don't know if we're just saving him for Liverpool, but, I mean, Toby played all those games.
Yeah, considering how he's played, unless there's, like, an injury issue, but I feel like he would have bitched about that because he bitched about Ndombele's injury issues.
Yeah, we haven't heard anything. I mean, he's been on the bench. He's been in the squad. He just, for some reason, stopped playing.
And I don't know about you guys, but watching Vertonghen in the last few games, again, maybe it's the Christmas fixtures and he'll be better when he's got a week rest between starts, but and I know he's had to deputize in at left back some of the time, but fuck me, I'm ready to sit, look at the back of Jan, and I really like Vertonghen, and you know, this kind of precipitous fall has been a little alarming considering how solid he was before this year, but he has not looked good lately, and like you said, Ben, it's I'm a little perplexed why we're not seeing more of Sanchez, especially now that Sessegnon seems to at least be our left back for the immediate future.
Right, and I don't know if that was it, that like, okay, now that we have Sessegnon to play left back, we can give Vertonghen a shot back in the center of defense, but yeah, he has not been good, and I really didn't see that coming. That's so much of our season, right? It's just guys we thought we could rely on just not being reliable.
There's been a lot of, I feel like after the Borough result and the Southampton result, there has been a lot of finger pointing and anger on Spurs Twitter, and it's sort of just like, I don't know, the strain of it that I see the most is a lot of people sort of like, oh, we shouldn't have fired Pochettino, a lot of like sort of looking back at transfer windows past, a lot of I don't know. Everyone's just really mad because, frankly, Spurs haven't been this bad since Sherwood was here. I don't know. Like, where do you guys, Brian, we'll start with you. Where do you place the blame for the season so far when you look at it? Like, I mean, obviously, we're not in the locker room. We don't know. But I kind of hate everybody because we should have been buying people. The players should be trying harder. Pochettino shouldn't have had a mutiny on this scale on his hands after being in a fucking Champions League final. I mean, I really do fucking hate everybody. And it's weird because it's not like, I don't know, it's not like Dembele went down hurt and all of a sudden the team broke. It seems like everybody's to blame virtually.
I mean, yeah, I think that is probably the most plausible explanation. I think a lot of this falls on the players because, you know, you make a choice to not play for Pochettino or to half-ass it or, you know, whatever it was that was going on in the latter months of the Pochettino era. And that is kind of what put us in this position. And like, yeah, we can go back and we can look at transfer windows. And like, I saw a tweet today that was something like, you know, Pochettino wanted X player, but Levy gave him Y player. And it's just like, I guess with the virtue of hindsight, you know, fine. And I can't put a lot of blame on Levy because I feel like just by and large, to even get to this position where we're having this conversation about like our place in football and like how it's horrible that we're not in the top four right now is like a crazy accomplishment in the grand scheme of things. And to take it into the short term view of this season or, you know, the two transfer windows ago where we didn't really sign anybody, like it's not unfair, I guess, but to me, it's not looking at the whole picture. And so I guess if I have to pick somebody, if I can't pick everybody because you just did, if I got to pick anybody, I got to put it on the players.
I mean, I think, you know, like, yes, Daniel Levy got us to this point and Pochettino got us to this point, and it's, you know, a miracle that we're here and it's a miracle that we're complaining about not being top four. But, I mean, you can't overlook the transfer window 2 summers ago where we bought nobody, and the fact that this summer when we needed a knock it out of the park window to replace all the guys we didn't replace the summer before, we had a really very good window and bought 3 guys who I think are going to be very good long term for this club, but still didn't solve the fact that we were a year behind in transfers and a year late in replacing guys who needed to be replaced. You know,
that's where I'm so perplexed though, Ben, is I look at what you're saying, and I agree with what you're saying, and I agree that, like, we should probably have problems as a result of that, and I even would say they were probably not as bad as I realized they would be, but I still, like, I can't believe the depths to which this team has sunk. Like, even accounting for all of that being true, I'm still sort of amazed how bad we are.
Well, I mean, I think, you know, one of the things is you're right. I mean, the players have all been bad in ways that were, I think, some more foreseeable than others, but basically we gambled on our squad and lost with almost every roll of the dice. I mean, I'll just walk through the team. You know, Hugo Lloris, we thought he would be, you know, we knew he was like kind of fading and not his best, but he was still a very reliable goalkeeper who we could count on, and then he went and like injured himself throwing the ball into his own net. And we were like, okay, well, we have Gazzaniga. He showed himself to be a serviceable backup. And then he's terrible. And then we looked at our right back situation. We knew Aurier was bad, but we talked ourselves into, well, Pochettino thinks Kyle Walker-Peters can do it, and Juan Foyth can do it. And so, like, you know, even though we don't like Aurier, we have options here. And then Kyle Walker-Peters fell down the fucking Springfield mystery spot.
Well,
and
either fell or got pushed, one way or the other. He's down.
Yeah, right. Hasn't been good. I mean, Juan Foyth has been, you know, shows glimpses of hope, but is largely a catastrophe.
Well, we didn't, you know, we don't have 3 points against Norwich because of Juan Foyth. I mean, also because of Serge Aurier, but, you know, like,
you know, we thought we were keeping Toby, so at least we have Toby, but then, you know, that whole contract fiasco, which we should have foreseen having the consequences it did.
Of all this shit, the Toby one maybe worked out the best, but yeah.
It did. Like, you know, once he got his head down and got his new contract and Jose came in, he's
got a
good
new manager.
But, like, we lost a lot of ground because he was not good for the first part of the season. You know, Vertonghen seemed like old reliable. He was like maybe our best defender last year, and he fell off a fucking cliff. Danny Rose, we thought maybe he could give us another season, and he fell off a fucking cliff. Ben Davis, a serviceable backup, oh, he's injured. We've got 3 new signings, Sessegnon, Dembele, and Dombele, and Lo Celso. Oh, they're all fucking injured. You know, Lucas Moura, he had a great Champions League campaign. He's going to really kick on. Nope, he's been dog shit. Oh, Harry Kane, he had a whole summer off and finally he's going to get his fitness back together. Nope, he's still not back to being himself, you know?
I'll tell you, that's the one that kills me the most, is Kane just not even, like, it'd be one thing if he just doesn't reach the heights he did before, but he just seems to have gotten worse, and I'm sure the team behind him has something to do with that, but it clearly isn't all of it.
Right, and he keeps going. I mean, Heung-Min Son, he's been good, but he can't stay on the fucking pitch because he's turned into a red card machine, and he's been just, like, six matches through suspension. Like, you can't have your best attacker, one of your best attackers, be missing that often because he can't keep his head straight. You know, Dele Alli, injured most of the season, finally got his shit together, and then has been running to the ground. Christian Eriksen, you know, I think we've all seen what happened with Christian Eriksen this season. You know, again, we kind of naively thought, well, if we've got him, he's been good. He'll still be good, and he clearly hasn't been. So, I mean, at, like, literally every position around the team, every player that we thought we could rely on or we're going to get better or we're going to do X, Y, and Z, just didn't. Just, like, almost every single person on this team has been worse than we were expecting. For some of them, like I said, are reasons that we maybe should have seen coming, and a few of them just totally blindsided us. You know, I think the injury situation, you know, Ndombele was healthy all last season. He's never had injury problems, and now he's like fucking Victor Wanyama out there.
No, because when he's out there, he looks good, but yes, I grant your point.
It's just in terms of, like, fitness. It's just, it just can't get healthy, you know? Lo Celso came back to us from Argentina hurt and has never really gotten to put minutes together on the pitch. It's just literally nothing has worked out. And, like, you know, you can call that bad luck, you can call that bad planning, but...
It's both. It's a few years of bad planning running into a lot of bad luck. And if you planned better, now, you know, it's worth pointing out, this is a complete disaster of a season for Spurs. We're in, like, what, six? Like, I mean, disaster is relative, but, you know, if you'd bought a few more players here or there, if you'd shipped out one or two of the malcontents at a time and used that to buy other players, like, this probably doesn't look so dire. But at the same time, the fact that this whole fucking team quit on Pochettino, like, I mean, I don't care if we should have recycled the squad from, like, a mentality standpoint. Like, that's still a huge fucking problem from those players that, like, yep. You know, they were, like, it's like, oh no, Pochettino wants to play a diamond. Like, all right, maybe not the best idea with them, but it's not like Pochettino is a fuck around with tactics every single fall.
Right, and the fact is, like, if these players suddenly became, like, amazing again in Pochettino's absence, I'd be like, well, you know what, it just wasn't working. But the fact is, like, they still look mostly like dog shit, and so... You know, what right do you have to throw a fucking temper tantrum about Pochettino making you work hard in training? Because, like, you clearly needed that hard work because you look like shit out there.
And the only guy who I think looks demonstrably better, I mean, like, okay, Toby looks better, but that probably just is because he fucking hates Pochettino. But Davinson Sanchez looks better, and it's not like that was, whatever else you want to say about Davinson Sanchez under Pochettino, it's not like he wasn't getting minutes. It's not like he was dogging it out there, like, under, or at least didn't look like he was dogging it out there under Pochettino. Maybe he wasn't listening to him or something, but, you know, it looked like he was trying. You know, it's like you said, Ben, if Christian Eriksen was magically playing better, if Lucas Moura was playing better, that'd be one thing, but no, they all still look fucking terrible. You know, our center back situation looks a lot better, and that seems to be, I suspect, Mourinho being a little bit more realistic about certain things than Pochettino was. Probably being a fresh voice doesn't hurt either.
Yeah, and it's always been this kind of specialty is coaching that, like, organized, well-drilled, low block. It's not super surprising that the center backs have taken to that. But, you know, come on, everybody. Like, give me a fucking break.
So, let's look forward a little bit, because I want to talk about, we talked about green shoots earlier, like, who on this team do you see as, like, on this team as the building blocks for the future?
Toby Alderweireld, he just signed a new contract.
I don't think that's a bad thing, though. Like, of all the malcontents, he's the guy I kind of want to keep around the most, because I feel like his play didn't dip dramatically, even when he was having, like, a shit fit with Pochettino. I mean, he wasn't good earlier in the season, but, you know, considering the drama going on around him, I think he's managed to keep his fucking head up. I mean, the only thing Christian Eriksen's done well since that fucking game against Aston Villa at the beginning of the year was that free kick he had against Norwich a week or so ago. I mean, he's been totally anonymous. Vertonghen looks like he's fallen off a fucking cliff.
I don't think that's necessarily... I think Eriksen has been better than that, honestly. I think I mean, again, like he's not a long term part of this team. So
would you want him to be? If Chris, would you want to re-sign Christian Eriksen?
If Christian Eriksen decided that, you know what, the big move didn't come, he was happy to be at Spurs for the rest of his short career, and started looking like Christian Eriksen of old, I would welcome him back.
No, not like right now. If Christian Eriksen walked in your office, like, I'll take, like, I don't know, the Toby deal. Maybe a little bit longer, a little bit more money because he's younger. But, like, is that a player you want on Spurs? You'd want to commit that money to. Not, like, just the way he's playing right now. I mean, obviously we're not in the locker room, so we don't know if there's, like, a fitness issue or if he's just a dickhead. But
yes, if I believed sitting down with Christian Eriksen that he wasn't going to pull this shit a year or two from now, yeah, I'd re-sign him. He's good.
I don't know. I feel he's really been good. It's been real eye-opening about how he's played this year. It's like I've been, you know, I mean, we've had some one-away players before, and they've all handled it a lot more professionally. I mean, with maybe the exception of, like, Berbatov when he wanted to get out of here. But that was just going on strike. That wasn't like he was dogging it on the pitch. I mean, you know, we flat-out killed Luka Modric's move, and he was a pro for a whole season after that.
Yeah. I mean, yes. I think the thing with Modric is like, he didn't get his move. We told him he'd get to go next season. He got a better move the year after. And, you know, and he wasn't in his last year of his contract, which I think is a failure of the club to let Christian Eriksen get to that
point.
Yeah,
absolutely a failure of the club. Now that we're here, I don't understand what Eriksen's doing. Like, you're definitely going to end up in, like, Inter or something after this, which isn't really that much better than Spurs, although maybe it will be after year or two. Huh?
Yeah, right. Right. I mean, yeah, over the past few seasons, you would say it's definitely a step down. This season, who knows what a step down from Spurs is. Anymore.
My point is, Eriksen's going to go from, like, being Billy Big Dick and wanting a fucking move to, like, I'm only going to Real Madrid or Barcelona, and I will not entertain an offer anywhere else, to, like, all right, I'll go to Inter Milan and, like, you know, hang out with the clan, cheering on Lukaku. Like, I'm so done with Eriksen.
Like, you know, look.
But it's not my decision,
I don't know if we've talked about the Eriksen situation from, like, a human standpoint, but the idea that, like, this guy who has given a lot of years, a lot of good years to Spurs, you know, passed up the chance to go to Barcelona as a young man to develop his career. He came here, he did great things with us, and, you know, I think he always had an understanding with the club that should Barcelona or Real Madrid come in for him, that we would let him leave. And I think just as a person, you know, you're 27 years old, you're at the prime of your career, you're ready for that next step, and you just get snubbed by everybody. Like, I think that does. It takes a toll on you. Like, I can understand how that's, like, very, very devastating emotionally for a human being to be like, nope, none of these big teams want you. I'm like, they should. He's a very good player. Like, you know, before this season, you would have not begrudged Eriksen moving to Real Madrid or been surprised if Real Madrid wanted Christian Eriksen.
Yeah, like, but I guess, and we've talked about this. We think Real Madrid was expressing a real interest in him. We think Real Madrid was expressing a real interest in him, so it's not like he's living in a fantasy world, but I think he was kind of living in a fantasy world. Like, and it just, the fact that his response to, like, okay, I'm going to be out of contract, I'm going to get a contract, is just to, like, fucking dog it. It's like, I mean, maybe he's picked up a little bit since Mourinho, and I know he's doing a lot of yeoman's work against sort of in the midfield these last two matches, but I mean, I don't know. It's like the way that he reacts to that opportunity, it's like, well, I don't know. I get that it might take a toll, but
like he's obviously been not on balance, more of a hindrance than a help this season. I think when he has played, he has shown glimpses of the Christian Eriksen that he used to be, and, like, has really bailed our asses out of the fire in several games this season. But, like, you know, I think it's just a little churlish to a couple seasons ago, you know, when Coutinho moved to Barcelona, you know, we were like, why are they wasting their money on that fucking jackass? You know, we have a much better number 10 in our team. You know, we always believed that. You know, and then Coutinho's now been at Barcelona and Bayern Munich and, like, is having the kind of career that Christian Eriksen probably saw for himself and never got. And I don't know. Like, I like him. I've always liked him, and I feel bad for him as a human being. And as a Spurs fan, it's harder. And
but you know what?
My feelings are more complicated.
he's also like, I get what you're saying, and I can have some sympathy for him, like, not getting what he wants, but at the same time, like, you know you're shooting for the moon a little bit. But what bothers me more than that is, like, he just gave up on his teammates. Like, I mean, I don't, like, you can't tell me this is all, like, I don't care if he finally's fighting an injury this year. Like, this can't, that can't be all this is. We've watched him on the pitch, and it's fucking hard to watch. It's really hard to watch. Eriksen's probably my favorite player of the Pochettino era of Spurs. Like, he was so good. He was so fun to watch. Like you said, we made jokes about Coutinho going to Barcelona because Eriksen was so much better. And to, like, watch this guy just, like, just, you know, and I, like, don't get me wrong. I'm not one of those, I don't think you should be given, like, 110% for your employer when they're, like, fucking you over. But at the same time, like, just the way he's approached this year, the way he's approached this team that has done a lot for him on some level, or at least his teammates, and it's just been watching him dog it, and some of that's because I'm a fan, and, you know, I'm not regarding him as a human being entirely, but it's fucking hard to watch, and it's really, really annoying that he would just sort of, you know, I mean, whatever else you want to say about a situation, like, I mean, he really did Pochettino dirty, who's probably done more to get him a move to one of those teams than, you know, anybody else. And
I mean,
it's pretty gross.
You know, maybe he's just a good general, but, you know, he said all along that, like, Christian, I have no problem with Eriksen. He's training just as well. He's not sulking. You know, I mean, I know you are a guy who does not do well with being spurned. You know, I've never
what
seen
you
somebody.
What can you mean, man?
To hating somebody. So you have that in you, but I think it's like, I don't know. I don't want to say you're just making excuses for Eriksen all day, but I think it's curious that, you know, we look at, like, Harry Kane's, like, drop in production. You have tons of fans saying, you know, well, that's just because he's not getting service. And, like, you look at our creative players like Christian Eriksen and you wonder why he's not creating as much. And it's like, no one's willing to concede that, like, maybe the world-class, highly mobile striker who made wonderful runs off of the defenders is no longer providing him an opportunity to create because he stands still outside the box.
That is a generous... I mean, I get what you're saying, and I'm just saying.
It's like...
But Eriksen's also, like, passing it into people's feet. He's passing it backwards more than he's passing it forwards all the time. You could... I mean, I swear to God, you could mistake him for Winks in some of these games. I mean, there's been a change in play this year. This isn't... I mean, I... understand what you're saying. The transfer drama has probably led to us not cutting him some slack that we might have cut if he was in up for, like, 2 years. But fuck, it's very apparent to me when he's out there, and I know I'm at the point where I'm not inclined to be generous to him even a little bit. But it's real apparent he's playing differently in the way that Kane is. But like I said, maybe it's the transfer drama, maybe it's the fact that he's not as outwardly rah rah as Kane, but. I don't know. It just looks... his game looks so different in a way that looks so much more... You know, with King, so much of it is he's not getting where he used to get. Like, he's not moving like how he used to move. He's not contesting those balls, whereas Eriksen's just, like, fucking hitting into the guy's shins and, like, not trying some of those passes. And maybe some of that's a product of everyone in front of him is a piece of shit this year. So he's, like, got nothing to work with. But, you know, when he makes some of the... does some of the lazy giveaways he's done this year, too, it just... I don't know. It's hard for me not to get incredibly angry when you combine it with the transfer drama.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, look, fans love players who bleed for the shirt. And,
yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
Guys like Winks and Sissoko and Lamella, like Danny Rose even, weirdly, like get a lot of credit for seeming like they give a shit, even when they're bad. And, you know, I totally understand not giving Eriksen that same credit, given everything that's happened this season. But we were very quick to welcome Toby back with open arms once he signed a new deal. So if Eriksen did the same, which I don't think is going to happen, so this has really been a kind of pointless digression. But I think if he did, I think, you know, you'd see fans kind of get back on side pretty quickly.
I think he would. I'd like to think I'd still be a little salty about it, rightly or wrongly. I'd like to think I'd have the intellectual consistency to at least be mad at him for a while. But
yeah, he would.
Thanks. So now that we've established at great length that Christian Eriksen won't be here next year, what do you see as our building?
It's fucking weird. Sorry, one more Christian Eriksen thing. The thing
sure.
That's fucking weird is, like, obviously not going to be here. next year, like almost certainly. He may not even be here past the end of this month. Why is he getting all of Los Celso's minutes? Like, we bought this guy ostensibly to replace Christian Eriksen, and we're just not giving him the opportunities that we're giving to a guy who clearly has one foot out the door. That, from like a Mourinho standpoint, I don't fucking understand at all. Especially if he's been as bad as you say.
I mean, Mourinho's never been a youth enthusiast. Mourinho is...
I mean, he's not an academy kid. He was like a promising young player.
Well, let me put it this way. I don't know if it's true or not that you need a lot of time to adjust to the Premier League. I think maybe it is. I think that's true on some level. What I do think is true is I think Mourinho absolutely believes in that. I think Pochettino did too. And
playing, like, that's how you adjust. By
no, absolutely. But with Mourinho, you've got a guy who's just immediately trying to get results. And from that perspective, it's like, I don't have time at this moment to give Lo Celso those minutes. I believe, and maybe it because maybe he is hurt, maybe he is not sulking, maybe it is actually fine. I believe that Mourinho looks at Eriksen and is like, that's a sure bet right now. I can get some shit out of him. And, you know, he had him play deeper in the last few games, and I think that speaks to the functionality that Mourinho believes in with Eriksen as opposed to Lo Celso, who I think he still thinks he needs it. But I would challenge, and I know it was Burrow, so let's not all get carried away, but I think Lo Celso has looked promising in his cameos, considering how little time he's had in them. I thought he looked downright good against Burrow, which, again, it's a championship-level team. I don't want to get too carried away, but it's like you said. Like, he needs to play. He needs to get better. I just think Mourinho doesn't want to, like okay, we'll bed him in as the season goes on, and then we'll really start him next year because I don't have to, you know, I don't have the time right now to let this guy acclimate. I don't think that's correct. I think it's what he believes.
Brian, you still there?
I was just letting you guys have your fun little Christian Eriksen diversion, even though it was, you know, not responsive at all to really Greg's question.
Yeah, well, we all know you like watching people tie themselves in knots, Brian.
No idea. Wait, Greg had a question? What was Greg's question?
Thanks, Ben. Appreciate that.
I got lost up on my own ass there for a minute, and I apologize.
So, since Brian will actually stick to the topic, What do you think of the building blocks on Spurs going forward?
Oh, that was the question.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's Alderweireld, it's Ndombele, obviously. It is
until he turns into actually Victor Wanyama.
Yeah, it's Lo Celso in midfield. It's Dele Alli, and I mean, I think you still probably ride Harry Kane until he's broken. I mean, you know, look, you've got a pretty decent spine of a team where you have Davinson Sanchez, who's a young center back and has, for the most part, played pretty well under Jose Mourinho. And then you've got a midfield that has Ndombele and Lo Celso, and maybe you need another sort of like deep-lying holding midfielder that allows those two guys to do some of the stuff that they're better at. But, you know, those are two really strong building blocks that you can play in a bunch of different ways. You can play them as a double pivot. You can play them in a three. You can do a bunch of different stuff with them. And then Dele Alli is – I mean, he's had a resurgence this year, and people were kind of down on him last year. But I still think he's, you know, one of the most talented players in football. And, you know, he's definitely going to be on this team next year, or, you know, or we're going to sell him for a lot of money, and then we're going to use that money to get in new building blocks. So I think he is certainly one for the future. And like I said, and you can't count out Harry Kane. Like, where's he going to go? And, you know, do you really want to, you know, throw away a 20-30 goal a season striker? Until he's not that, I think we just keep riding with Harry Kane. And, of course, Heung-Min Son.
I mean, I think they're definitely going to keep riding with Harry Kane. I think one way or another that's going to keep happening. Whether or not that's a good thing is up for discussion. But
yeah, I mean, I think if Man U backed up a dump truck full of money, I would sell Harry Kane in a heartbeat. I'd be very sad to do it, but you know, he's just shown enough fragility that it's not worth gambling on if the money's available. The club won't do it, so it doesn't matter.
But I mean, but you know, what is like a dump truck full of money? Like, would you sell him for like 40 or 50 million?
Probably need more than that. I mean,
50? the thing is, like, a year ago we could have got 80-100 million for him, and now I'm looking at 50. But it's like, you know, that was a conversation we had about Eriksson, I think, like a year ago, where we were like, would you take 60 million for him, 40 million for him, and now we're looking at like 15 million for him. So, you know, like, the value can disappear very quickly in football. And, you know,
it's worth
50 million for the Harry Kane of this season, if he's not going to be the Harry Kane of seasons past, is a very good return.
But let's also think about
this.
We'll
never do it, so it doesn't matter.
Harry Kane leaves Spurs for 50 million pounds. Let's just say that happens. Finding another, let's say, what do we think he is now? Like, assuming this level is what we're going to get out of Harry Kane, and maybe a little better because maybe we fix the team in some form or fashion. We're talking about, like, what, a 15 to 20 season, 20 goal season striker ish.
Right. I mean, I think you're talking about 20 to 30, but yeah, sure.
Yeah, all right. Well, so
he hit 20 last year. I think 15 to 20. I mean, he's at 11. He's out for 6 weeks.
I mean, that might be the low end, but you know, let's just say for the sake of argument, even then, are we going to find that for 50 million? So, like, considering what he means to the club, considering what his production still is, even at this diminished capacity, I just
no. This is a dumb conversation. We're not selling Harry.
Yeah, we're not, because no one's going to pay us no one's going to pay us what we need for him, and like no one. Yeah. So yes.
The thing you have to look at in terms of what Spurs are doing and have been doing is you know. Are a lot of our players have hit kind of like peak age. You know, two seasons ago we were a young team, and so now we've got guys that are beginning to be, you know, in the 27 to 28 range, where this is kind of their peak. You've got Alderweireld, who's kind of on the downside of that. You've got Vertonghen, who's past that. But you've also this summer brought in some high quality players that are pre-peak. You know, you've got in Ndombele, Lo Celso, Ryan Sessegnon, and I think that's kind of what Tottenham needs to continue to do, is to keep reloading with these pre-peak good players. Like, I mean, it's nice to take flyers on people like Jack Clark and Ryan Sessegnon and see if they work out. And Sessegnon looks like, so far, he's played pretty well in some of his minutes under Mourinho, and that's great. But, like, what you need is guys like Lo Celso and Ndombele, who are 24 and, you know, and have played in, you know, top divisions, or who are demonstrably, you know, top quality players. And you just need to continue to reload like that, you know, every year. And I think you have some of the guys that we just talked about who are, you know, coming to the downside of their careers. And so you ride them out for another season or two, but now we have to be proactively working to replace them.
Which I think is going to be a challenge under Mourinho. I'm honestly extremely interested in what this summer's transfer window is going to look like, which is obviously going to be very complicated by the Euros, because I, for the first time in a few years, have zero idea what kind of players we're going to be targeting. No clue at all, and I'm very interested to see what happens, if only because maybe once we get those new players in and Mourinho gets a hold of the team, we don't look like fucking trash for an entire season. Hopefully we get there before the summer.
You know, it's like, I ran through the whole squad and was like, here's how everybody's terrible. But I also feel like, you know, we don't really need that much to make it work. Like, get in one more midfielder,
get in a real defensive midfielder.
Right, get in a new right back, and assuming Sessegnon is going to be a good left back, that maybe that's fine, and Ben Davis can still be his backup next season. But, like, you know, with Lo Celso and Ndombele coming into the team and Son still being good, like, that's still a very good team. Like, we're not that far off. The problem is just the pieces we're missing are such glaring holes, and, like, you're kind of only as strong as your weakest link, and we have just too many weak links that we have to play week in, week out right now.
I mean, do you think it is, like, because honestly, it's something I've been thinking about a lot the last few weeks. I mean, obviously the biggest problem, I think, with the team is these brain farts we're having right now. And I don't know, that's the kind of thing that's going to get ironed out, or it's not. But do you really think, like, having a defensive midfielder, having someone who can do in the things Eric Dyer used to be able to do. I mean, do you think that really solves that many of our problems?
It does and it doesn't. I mean, you know, it's the kind of thing that cuts out chances, which is good, and allows us to retain possession, which is good. And that's two things we've struggled with this season. But, you know, until we get rid of guys like Juan Foyth and Serge Aurier and Gazzaniga, who are going to make catastrophic mistakes and give away a free goal every game, you know, it can only do so much. So I think that certainly needs to happen as well. You know, we need to get a backup striker for Harry Kane because, you know, whatever we think of him, he has missed enough time through injury that we can't rely on a Fernando Llorente or you know, moving Son up top because we don't have the depth in his position. But the big obvious hole is midfield, and it has been 4 years, and it's not a new song we're singing. But, yeah, it makes us better. It doesn't make us a title-challenging team, but it makes
us... I'll take for top four contend. I'll take top four contending right now.
Yeah, I mean, I think it makes us a... You know, again, if Ndombele stays fit, and you imagine him and a real defensive midfielder for a season, like, that's gravy. We're fucking good. But we just haven't seen that. We've seen Winks and Sissoko and Eriksen in midfield and Dele Alli in midfield and Eric Dyer in midfield. Like, this is nonsense. You know, and the more we can reduce our reliance on those guys, like, you know, they're fine squad players who can pitch in, you know, when we have an occasional injury. But, like, they're playing 50% of the season. You're not going to be good. And, you know, I think... we're not far off from having that better version of Spurs out there, but
all right,
it's just bad.
To wrap it up, we are recording this on January 6th. I want to hear from both of you guys. Do you think, and Brian, we'll start with you, do you think Spurs buy someone in January?
No fucking way.
Like, not even a, like, I don't know, Leeds has like a fucking, like, Jack Clark like substance that we're going to purchase for future use?
No, why would we buy a Jack Clark like substance when we have actual Jack Clark?
Fair enough.
No, I mean, look, I think what our business seems to be is recalling all the young kids from loan and then letting Jose Mourinho look at him and go, all right, maybe I'll play him, and then maybe Daniel Levy will buy me somebody. I mean, you know, Cameron Carter-Vickers is coming back from loan inexplicably because... I don't know.
I think that's just to move him somewhere else, not because we're like going to use him.
Yeah, but I mean, like, why did he have to come back from one championship club to presumably go to another championship club? You know, it's just like, So I don't know. No, we're not going to sign anybody. We're not even going to come close to signing anybody. And that include like. Maybe we finalize the Lo Celso thing, but I don't think that counts because he's already here.
Ben, you think we're going to buy anyone?
I don't think it's impossible. I mean, so like Carter Vickers has played 12 times in the championship so far, and he's been out of the team since end of November. He hasn't played at all in December. I don't know if he's hurt or whatever, but like, you know, we're going to bring him back to move him to a different club that'll give him some minutes or sell him somewhere. But so the one signing that seems like it might happen is this Boubacari Soumaré from Lille, who is kind of a Winksian midfielder, who I think, you know, I talked to Joel about this, and he pulled some stats bomb data, and he said he's basically like a better Harry Winks, like the Harry Winks we all imagine Harry Winks could be. Is what this guy is. A guy who does defensive work, but isn't a defensive midfielder. A guy who recycles the ball, but also...
enables you to play possession-based.
Right, and is capable of passing forward. So, you know, I don't know. Jose seems into him. A lot of clubs are also into him. You know, that's the target that seems like, again, not necessarily the fix for our midfield, but, like, would make our midfield better, and if that's a guy Jose wants, and the club signs off on. I don't see it as impossible to happen.
Have there been any recent links? I remember seeing a bunch of stuff when, like, in the month after Mourinho got here, but I haven't seen anything lately.
There have. I mean, it's been, like, Spurs and Manchester United target, you know, on the move. kind of thing. But apparently Lille is ready to sell, so or Lyon is ready to no, Lille.
Yeah, well, Lille's the team that Mourinho has all these links to.
Right. That's where he got his assistant coaches from. He was looking at the director of football from there. So given all that, maybe it's just a rumor that makes sense given all that, but it also kind of makes sense as a thing that might happen. Other than that, I'm not optimistic about signings, I guess, but, you know, we have done business in January in the past. We bought Lucas in January, we bought Dele in January. You know, when Redknapp first took over the team, we bought him a bunch of signings in January.
That's the thing. I think this is the most urgent January we've had since Redknapp's first time. I don't think we've had a panic like this in January in a long time. And I really think since Redknapp's first tenure here, or first winter here, you know what I mean. I think we haven't needed to buy someone in January like this in a very long time.
Right. I mean, this is the first time we've really replaced a manager mid-season since then, with the exception of Tim Sherwood, who didn't count, and no one was expecting to last, you know, past the end of the season. So why?
But we didn't do this time, which was a caretaker, essentially.
Right. Like, we spent a lot of money on Jose Mourinho. Presumably, if he wants guys, we're going to open the pocketbook to do it.
But I think the one difference between what Mourinho's used to versus what he's going to get here, whatever else our transfer stuff is, I don't think we're going to buy expensive Band-Aids. I think if we're going to spend a lot of money on a player, it's got to be someone that we see working for a while. You know, if we can go get a guy who can do a job for £3 million, I think that might be one thing. But, you know, I think if they're going to go get a, like the Lille midfielder you were talking about, like, well, that better be somebody you're going to use next year if we're going to buy him now.
Yeah. So, you know, I think the fact that we didn't sign anybody for all of last year and we've been kind of slow to sign in January shouldn't necessarily be seen as predictive of what we're going to do this summer.
In theory, we have a Dybala-sized amount of money burning a hole in our pockets. So I understand that this might not be the ideal time to spend it, but we should have some money to spend. Let's buy Dybala. How about that? That'll fix our problems, right?
I mean, we do need a striker.
It actually would fix a lot.
Not really a striker anymore, but yeah.
Yeah, he can play striker. He'll be fine.
Oh, well, maybe now that the podcast is back, Spurs will be playing a little bit better. Ben, where can people find you on the internet?
You can find me crying about our inevitable signing of Marouane Fellaini instead of anybody good on Twitter at ComradeUSpurs.
Brian, where can people find you on Twitter?
You can find me on Twitter at Brian_Ashlock. That is Brian with a Y.
And you can find me on Twitter at Skipjack0079. It's good to be back, guys. I wish we had better games to talk about. Please leave us a 5-star review. It makes us all very happy. And it makes the holiday season last forever, except in a good way, not the Tottenham soccer way that we've all had to watch for the last few weeks. So please leave us a 5-star review. We really appreciate it. For Ben, for Brian, and of course for Brett Rainbow, I've been your host, Greg. Come on, you Spurs. Like, please, seriously, come on. I need these games to stop. Play better.